Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joe Henry back on the show. We had Joe on a couple times this past year during the open water season. Joe works for Lake of the Woods Tourism, and you know, anytime you're having a conversation about Lake of the Woods, and we've had a lot of conversations about Lake of the Woods fishing over the span of this podcast, and Joe's been a really fun guest involved in that group just because what he does, I mean, he's a passionate angler. It's fun to talk to him about fishing just because he's got such great energy. He's so genuinely excited about fishing and talking about fishing, and then his job where he promotes, you know, the opportunities to fish up on Lake of the Woods. And make no mistake, that is totally in alignment with a lot of the shows that we do here on the JMO Podcast. We're always trying to identify fishing opportunities that sometimes they're under the radar. Sometimes we're talking with people and trying to, you know, figure out how to find hidden gems and sort of secretive spots that are sort of undiscovered. And Lake of the Woods is not an undiscovered fishing opportunity, but it is a giant lake that offers so much to so many people, and it has its own unique flavor as well. And that's what Joe really brings to the table. He does a better job than almost anybody I know just talking about the big picture of what Lake of the Woods has to offer for that. So let's get into it here. We've got Lake of the Woods ice fishing with Joe Henry. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in, the trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO Podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps. That and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool both on and off the water for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast. You know, we're talking Lake of the Woods. I think it's no secret your name here in the Midwest, your name synonymous with Lake of the Woods and the opportunities up there. We talked about like the Spring Rainy River Run a little bit last year, you know, and then also getting to know you in your career and everything. And then we talked, you know, we talked open water ultimately, and we're coming into this season now, this early ice season, and we're going to be talking about ice fishing up on Lake of the Woods. And there's probably no chance in this whole conversation that we're going to be able to detail or cover all the things that we would love to cover, but we're going to try our best. And you're a pro at this, so I probably won't talk a whole lot. I've got a couple notes written down, but more than likely, you're going to cover my notes on your own. But this is just a conversation about the opportunities of ice fishing up on Lake of the Woods, which, you know, and this might just be part of my intro. I might even edit this part out. But like, you know, Lake of the Woods is such a monster. It offers so much to so many people, and it's so turnkey for everyone. It's really, really hard to totally wrap up in a package just how great of an opportunity is for so many different people for so many different reasons. But I want to cover a lot of that here in this podcast with you, and you're definitely the guy. So I'm jacked up about this. Conversations like this just get me excited about fishing and going fishing, planning destination fishing trips. But yes, here we are entering the beginnings of the 2024-2025 ice season, and we should just talk about maybe the history, maybe, you know, the status updates, just, you know, just all the offerings and all the things I just kind of rattled off of, like, why is Lake of the Woods so special for so many different people for so many different reasons, and why planning our next destination fishing trip should include taking a look up at what Lake of the Woods has to offer, man. So where do we start with this, Joel? And first off, thank you for coming back on.
Taylor, thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be on this podcast. It's a very, very, very credible podcast. It's a wonderful podcast. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, one of the things you said, man, Lake of the Woods is such a monster. And, you know, I want to say it's a monster in a very good way. You know, I think sometimes for people, Lake of the Woods is so big and there's so many different areas. You know, we rattle off areas up at Lake of the Woods, like everybody knows them, Rainy River, Four Mile Bay, South Shore, Pine Island, Bostick Bay, Zippel Bay, Long Point, Rocky Point, Northwest Angle, Garden Island, Knight and Bridges. I mean, you know, those are all synonymous with Lake of the Woods, but, you know, if you don't know Lake of the Woods, you just overwhelmed me. When I'm overwhelmed, I don't take action. I don't go because it's just too much. So, you know, the one thing I want to impose upon folks is that, you know, I think one of the greatest things we have up Lake of the Woods, yeah, you know, we are the walleye capital of the world, with all respect to other good walleye fisheries. It's our marketing tagline. But we do have a lot of walleyes. We estimate we have over 10 million walleyes. We certainly have the cousin of the walleye, the sauger, which really, really adds to the quality of the ice fishing experience. It gives you action, gives you more fish in your bucket. It gives you a more robust, you know, fish fry. It gives you consistency. You know, I think the other thing is, you know, we have infrastructure. And when I say infrastructure, what I mean is we have resorts and outfitters that their specialty, the way they make their living is by catering to ice anglers. And, you know, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, where you have a wheelhouse or a collapsible fish house or, you know, a snowmobile or ATV or side-by-side, you can come up, you can use ice roads, you can use snowmobile trails, and you can go out on your own and have a heyday. You can do awesome, and it's there. But more importantly, for the people that don't have all the equipment, they don't have the fish house, maybe they don't have the experience, they don't have the know-how, maybe you don't know Lake of the Woods, you know, all you have to do is find one of our dozens of full-service resorts and literally get the address. After you make a reservation, of course, get the address, put the address in your phone, and just get there. Because once you get there, they offer the heated fish houses on the fish. They'll either offer you transportation to the fish house, to the door of the fish house, or in some cases, if you'd prefer, they have, you know, ice roads that are marked and groomed and plowed and maintained on a daily basis that you can drive right to the front door of your fish house. You know, first thing you do is you know, you park, you step inside, you bring your buckets in and maybe your lunch and whatever you're going to be drinking. And you come in and take your jacket off and hang it up because it's 70 degrees and holes are cleaned out. Fish house is, you know, banked on the outside, so there's no draft, and you start fishing. I mean, my point is, and then those they also have the restaurants and the bars and the nice accommodations and all that. So, you know, if you just get up there, this is what Lake of the Woods has, the infrastructure. You can just go up there with no know-how. Maybe it's a group of girls. Maybe it's a group of guys. Maybe it's your family. You got some young kids. You know, said, oh, honey, we should go ice fishing this winter. How do we do it? We don't know what we're doing. Just get a hold of a Lake of the Woods resort, and they'll put you on the fish, and they'll teach you how. But that's how easy it is. And I say that because I want more people to get into ice fishing across the whole ice belt. I want that. Gosh dang it. I mean, it's such a good activity. You know, it gets people outside in the winter when it's harder to get kids outside anyway. It just works. You know, Taylor, you asked about the history of ice fishing on Lake of the Woods. You know, it wasn't that many years ago that people ice fished on Lake of the Woods, but it wasn't such a big deal. And, you know, part of what's made that come around is technology. You know, I remember talking to some older resort owners who've been around for decades, and they talked about back in the day, it was harder to have sleeper fish houses because you had the old oil burning stoves and they were inconsistent. And can you imagine putting a group of people out on Lake of the Woods in a sleeper fish house with an oil burning furnace that keeps you warm, and you know, they're inconsistent. And on top of it, you don't have cell phones. Man, that's one of, you know, it's one of the reasons why. And it's not like you have a buddy heater to back you up or anything. Technology just wasn't there. So as time evolved, you know, the fish houses got better. The insulation in the fish houses got better. Now we have propane furnaces, which they're vented better. They're very consistent. We have cell phones. So if something would ever happen, you just make a phone call to your outfitter or a resort, and they can be out there in a jiffy. You know, the things have just changed. Even just, you know, the machines we have to take people out ice fishing, the pickup trucks and the plows and that sort of thing from plowing the ice, everything has changed. You know, the ice fishing equipment we use has gotten better, so it makes it more enjoyable. The electronics we use for ice fishing has really made ice fishing enjoyable. You know, whether you have the most latest forward-facing sonar or maybe you just have a flasher. Heck, you know what? Most of our resorts and bait shops up north, they rent flashers like Vexlars and such. Why? Because I know this. There's a lot of people that come up that don't have any ice fishing equipment, and having at least one flasher in a fish house really is helpful to tell you if there's fish there, where in the water column they are, when they're there, how they're reacting to your lure and your presentation. I mean, all that stuff has changed ice fishing. Bringing up, fast forward to today, we have ice throwers going off various aspects of Lake of the Woods that go for more than 20 miles. They're staked, they're plowed, they're in some cases five lanes wide. We got roads going off of them where you can park your own fish house, or there might be rows of rental fish houses. And some of the resorts actually have street signs out in the ice that tell you what the name of the road is. We have ice bars. We have a couple of ice bars. We have the Igloo Bar out of Zippo Bay Resort, you know, 1,000 square feet, full bar, partial hot menu, two big screen TVs, an ATM machine. You know, yeah, by the way, you can actually fish in the bar. It's set up on the edge of Zippo Reef. I mean, talk about a dream come true. You know, the other one that popped up more recently in the last few years is called the Angry Walleye. That's out of Cyrus Resort, and that's located in Bostic Bay. You don't fish out of that one, but it's a big, fun bar out on the ice. And when you go in there, they serve their famous homemade pizzas from Cyrus Resort. And they got big screen TVs, and it's a perfect place to come in and tell your fish stories to people from all across the Midwest. So those things make it unique. I think the other thing, Taylor, is, you know, when you think about Big Lake of the Woods, in a nutshell, I like to break down the different parts of Lake of the Woods in three groups. First off, you got the Rainy River. And the Rainy River, in a nutshell, comes out of Rainy Lake, which is 60 miles to the east of Lake of the Woods. And the Rainy River flows out of the dam at Rainy Lake. It flows straight west 60 miles. And then, and by the way, it's our international dividing line with Canada. And then when it hits the town of Bidette, where Willie Walleye is, the famous Willie Walleye statue, it turns straight north and it goes 12 more miles where it feeds Lake of the Woods. Now, there's a little bit of ice fishing on Lake of the Woods. You know, there's I know the Royal Dutchman just east of Bidette has some fish houses out on Lake of the Woods, and there might be a few others. I know Birchview might have a few fish houses out in that Wilson Creek area. But we don't push the Rainy River real hard just because it's a river. It's flowing water, and we're talking ice, and you have to know what you're doing. If you're going out with an outfitter or a resorter like one of those two, they're going to take good care of you, and they know where you can go and where you can't go. But I wouldn't suggest going out on the river on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first part. The second part of Lake of the Woods is where the Rainy River flows into, which is Big Traverse Bay. Big Traverse Bay is big. It's 30 miles north-south by about 25 miles east-west. And that's where the majority of the ice fishing happens. Now, Big Traverse Bay is the deepest spot in Big Traverse is only 38 feet deep. That means that the whole thing is prolific with life. There's forage. There's critters in the mud, bloodworms, and different kind of larvae from hatches. And it's like a huge aquarium with, you know, we talked about walleyes and saugers. You got jumbo perch. Good strong population of eel powder, otherwise called burbot or freshwater cod or lawyers. But you know, I tell you, those darn burbot, they are good eating. And you know, used to be they used to take those burbot and throw them out on the ice as a junk fish. Well, boy, I tell you, that tide has sure turned. People realize now that you can take the backstrap of a burbot and take the two pieces of tail meat, and you can cube it. You can boil it in salt water, 7-Up, and you dip it in melted butter. It's almost like poor man's lobster. It used to be, it's a junk fish, it's a burbot. now people are like, man, I hope I catch a couple eel putt when I'm up here along with my walleyes, because we kind of thought it'd be fun to have an appetizer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just changed totally, you know. But in addition to the walleye, sauger, burbot, jumbo perch, you know, we got some crappies, we got big pike, we got sturgeon swimming around. Last year, you know, and this doesn't happen a lot, but last year we caught a few lake trout that swam down from the northern part of Lake of the Woods, where more of the lake trout live. And then we also got a few muskies through the ice while people were pike fishing. So it's just amazing. You never know what you're going to catch when you set that hook. Then that's the second part of Lake of the Woods. The third part of Lake of the Woods is that little tip of Minnesota that sticks up into Canada. And that's called the Northwest Angle. Now, that's the northernmost point of the contiguous U.S. That's where the 14,552 islands of Lake of the Woods begin. And when you travel up there, it's considered an exclave. An exclave meaning that you have to travel through another territory in order to reach your own. Well, if you drive up to the Northwest Angle, you actually drive up the western side of the lake. You'll travel through Warroad or Roseau, depends upon where you're coming from. And you'll travel up the west side of the lake in Manitoba for about 40 miles. And then you re-enter back into the United States up at the Northwest Angle. So you do need credentials. You need a passport card, and a enhanced driver's license. Or you can use an original birth certificate combined with a government-issued ID like a driver's license. Now, when you travel up there, people might think, well, shoot, I can't go there. I have a DUI or I don't have credentials or you know something like that. You don't have to worry, because there's another option. If you stay on Lake of the Woods, you're staying in Minnesota. So we have a 42-mile state grant and aid snowmobile trail that's marked and groomed and staked that takes you from the south end of the lake, both by Wheeler's Point, where the mouth of the Rainy River is, or over on the western side by either Warroad or Arneson's Rocky Point. And there's a snowmobile trail on both sides of the lake that'll take you up to the Northwest Angle. In addition, there's a passenger service called, you know, the Lake of the Woods Passenger Service that'll take you up, keeping you in Minnesota by Bombardier up to your favorite Northwest Angle resort in the winter. And in the summer, they'll take you up via charter boat. Of course, they pick you up when you're ready to come home. So, and that's where, you know, we have a buoy up there signifying the northernmost point of the contiguous U.S., just like Key West has a buoy for the southernmost point. Up there, you know, we have about 15 resorts, about half of them ice fish. Up at the Northwest Angle, there's one ice road that takes you from where the main harbors, where you access the ice, which is at Young's Bay and Jerry's Restaurant. There's an ice road there that takes you out pretty much to the resorts on the islands. It'll take you over to Flag Island and over to Oak Island. We don't fish off of ice roads up at the Northwest Angle. The ice roads up there are really meant just to get to your resort. And then when you're fishing with a resort, either you'd use your own sewing machines or they'll take you out in their bombardiers out to their fish houses. So in a nutshell, and kind of a long story, but that's a little bit of the history of how ice fishing has evolved. And of course, that's kind of what we have going on with the three different areas of Lake of the Woods right now as far as ice fishing goes.
People that I know personally, I think this is on a higher level than even what I recognize, but you know, Lake of the Woods, the ice fishing opportunities up on Lake of the Woods for any of these reasons or another, anglers that I know that are like really, you know, DIY, you know, just real savvy anglers in their own right that go anywhere with their own gear and they fish hard anywhere, nuanced anglers. Lake of the Woods is the place that they bring their families and they leave their stuff at home and they book a trip with these mm-hmm. resorts. I don't, on any scale anywhere else, I just don't, Lake of the Woods is special for that, where it's almost like, you know, even if you are the DIY guy that has all the bells and whistles and wants to do all that, like if you're going to bring your wife, who maybe doesn't like being on ice because she doesn't understand or trust ice, but you go up there and you see like, you know, 36 inches of ice in these like 5-lane highways that are plowed and they're smooth. You take your comfortable vehicle right up to, you know, the fish house that you've rented. And one thing we got to get into too is like, you know, these villages or, you know, these big, like almost like cities with the street signs, like you're talking, and all these plowed roads and all these fish houses, like the majority of people, if not like when things are going good, like everybody can be catching fish. And you were talking about the fish that are there. Like, there's no bad bite on Lake of the Woods. Like you say, even if you've never seen an eel pout before, I think that the industry is shifting in a way nowadays. We celebrate things like eel pout. So, you catch a walleye, you catch a sauger, you catch a perch, you know what you're dealing with, and that's awesome. It's fun. It's probably why you chose Lake of the Woods to go up there, is to catch those kind of fish. But there's really no bad bite that you get up there. And I think that's why, I don't mind making that point that, like, anglers that I know personally, I mean, I could rattle off their names, like people that I know that fish on their own anywhere that they go, they take their families to Lake of the Woods. And I think that speaks a little bit to that, that there's an opportunity happening there that even the most savvy DIY guys would recognize, like, for different reasons, this is where I'll bring my family, or this is where if my parents want to take my kids, their grandkids somewhere, I would say book a Lake of the Woods resort and go do the full service down there. And I mean, you come back to the lodge and clean a few fish. Like most of these lodges, the kitchen will fry your fish for you. It's like, again, you'll find some of these things in other places. And I like talking about other places too sometimes on this podcast, but we're talking Lake of the Woods right here, that I feel like it's true to say that it's like a planet up there. It's on a bigger scale than anywhere else you'll find. So talking about the opportunities that are up there, it's like, it's really endless. It's huge, huge opportunity.
Yeah, I think one thing too to consider is that it's very good points. And, if you're not an avid ice angler, so imagine you wake up in the morning, have a nice breakfast. Maybe you want to have breakfast in your own cabin, or maybe you want to go and have breakfast at the resort that offers a beautiful breakfast. And then whether you're at a resort that takes you out or you want to drive yourself out, that's your choice. But you get out to your fish house at 7:38 in the morning. You walk into 70 degree heat of comfort. You fish all day. Usually you bring some good lunch out if you want. Some resorts will deliver hot lunches out to you, pizzas and hot sandwiches and burgers and stuff like that. It's up to you. Some people bring their own, and you have a good day. And then, at about 4:30, it starts getting dark. And that's when you normally come in. And you might think, well, why would you come in then at 4:30? Well, Lake of the Woods, here's one of the great things about Lake of the Woods. Lake of the Woods has stained water. So what that means is, we have tannins that color the water, kind of that light coffee color. We have the flowage that goes into Lake of the Woods. There's a lot of bog. And the bog naturally stains that water with tannins, and that flows into the Lake of the Woods through the different tributaries and such. So our water is stained. What that means is that the walleyes and sauger bite better during the daylight hours than they do at night. If you're in a very gin-clear lake, you very well be, if you want to catch a walleye, you might have to be sleeping overnight on the ice and hear your rattle reel wake you up at 2 in the morning, right? On Lake of the Woods, the fish bite better during the day. So when you talk about people that are used to being up during the day, you talk about families, things like that, they're going to have good luck during the day rather than being in the Dead Sea, Mm-hmm. And that is a big, big plus. But the other thing is, when you come in, most resorts will clean your fish for you if you want them to. It's part of the service. So they'll clean the fish for you. So when you come back in at 4:30, you got to decide, all right, depends on the group you have. Do we want to go back to our cabin and have happy hour and just kind of chill out for a little bit? Do we want to go to a resort bar or go one of the ice bars and have happy hour there before we eat dinner? And then when you eat dinner, hey, did we bring our own food to cook in our own cabins? Or did we say, let's make life really easy and let's just get the meal plan where, the lodging, the ice fishing, and all the meals are included in one price? Or did we say, what we're going to do? Let's eat out because we're on vacation. But tonight, let's eat at our resort. Tomorrow night, let's eat at a neighboring resort. And the third night, we're going to eat at yet another resort just to see the different menus and different cultures and to kind of spread it a little bit. But to me, that's part of the fun. Every group is different. I do something different when I bring my wife up versus when I go up with a group of guys. We might stay differently. We might fish more hardcore. And then you talk about the sleeper fish houses. Sleeper fish houses, they make it more economical for people. Because you can just, sleep in your fish house, which is normally less expensive. Some people love the idea of kind of ice camping. Usually when you go into a sleeper fish house, normally there'd be about a 10 by 20. You normally got a couple of bunk beds in there as a rule with mattresses. You bring your own sleeping bags and pillows. They normally have cookware. So you normally bring your own food, your own cooking oil if you want to cook fish in this fish house. You bring all your whatever you're going to eat and drink and your sleeping gear. And of course your fishing gear. And, you go out there for 2-3 nights and People play cards, they listen to music, they watch movies. Some of the sleeper fish houses, they have, the propane cook stoves on top, but then some of them also have the actual propane oven where you can bake. Well, when you have a situation like that, people bring out pans of lasagna. They bring out fresh cinnamon rolls to cook in the morning. Imagine waking up in the morning and, throwing on a sweatshirt and your jeans or your sweats or whatever, putting on some slippers and starting to jig with a good cup of hot cup of coffee. I mean, it's some people really enjoy the sleeper experience. It's not for everybody, but for a lot of people, it's kind of a unique thing.
Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps, that and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool both on and off the water for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and there's just so many different versions of all that with all these different resorts. They have such cool offerings and just making that point that it's so, they got the customers in mind. It's like the whole culture of the ice season up there on Lake of the Woods is that all these resorts do a very good job of sort of designing their business to just take care of their customers to the fullest extent that they can.
Well, Taylor, let me say this too. I mean, you hit on something that's really important. I'll just tell you the way it is. These hardworking entrepreneurs up there, and let me tell you something. You rival a resort almost like a dairy farm, because there's always something to do, whether it's it's customers, whether it's the kitchen, whether it's the phone calls, whether it's maintenance on a cabin, maintaining your ice road, maintaining your fish houses, fixing that. There's always something to do. So these men and women work hard. They're salt of the earth entrepreneurs, and on top of that, the old saying is it's 7 times easier to retain an existing customer than it is to get a new one. So they know darn well that, hey, listen, if they have the privilege of having you come to their resort or to their sleeper fish house business, perhaps they want to do a really, really good job so that you'll come back to them. That's part of their business model, naturally. So, I mean, they are going to do, like, to give an example, they move fish houses a lot. A lot of the resorts and outfitters, they want to make sure that when you come up, you pull up to a fish house, it's a fresh set. You don't have pee marks around the fish house. Everything is fresh. It's freshly banked. It's in a new spot, which gives you hope. They're constantly trying to move fish houses to keep them on the schools of walleyes and saugers, which are, constantly moving. They work their tails off to make sure that they're going to give you the best opportunity. Now, fishing's fishing. You could go out and you could get some fish for a fish fry, or you could go and have 100 fish a day. Every time you go to Lake of the Woods and every place you go and every experience is different. But the kicker is, is that resort, is that outfitter, are they working their tails off for you? Are they doing what they need to do to put you in a very good scenario? And then there's certain things you can't control. You can't control the bite. You can't control a low pressure system coming through. You can't control, you know, things like that, which will affect the fish. But they do the best they can.
And another sort of topic that I want to have in this conversation is talking about the season. I mean, it's the northern tier of Minnesota where it's a longer ice season typically than like what we talk about anywhere else, even in just in Minnesota. You know, there's sort of a progression, if you will. I think you kind of said it that way when we were talking, like the progression of the season up there, but it's a long season and the regulations for like keeping fish is a little bit different up there too, that I think we probably have to talk about a little bit, because it really, again, they manage Lake of the Woods for this opportunity, and it definitely offers unique opportunities compared to other places in Minnesota.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. You know, it's because we are right on the Canadian border. We're so far north that there's different things that are happening. Like, we have a longer ice season just in reality, but then the regulations also reflect that. So give an example. In most parts of the state of Minnesota, you know, permanent fish houses or fish houses that are left on the ice overnight, they have to be off by the end of February. You know, up at Lake of the Woods, we get a whole extra month. We can have fish houses out on the ice overnight through March 31st. You know, the rest of the state, the walleye season closes end of February. Up at Lake of the Woods, our walleye and sauger season goes through April 14th. Pike season, the rest of the state normally closes end of February. Up at Lake of the Woods, we have a pike season that never closes. And that gives you the opportunity to do that tip-up fishing for 40-plus inch pike in late March, even into early April. So there's a lot of nuances to the fishing seasons and how long you keep your stuff out. When we start ice fishing, you know, we normally will start getting roads, you know, staked and such for ATV, snowmobiles. We start spearing the end of November on some of the back bays. Mother Nature determines. And you know, people ask me, hey, what are the ice conditions right now in Lake of the Woods? You know, it's always a loaded question because Lake of the Woods is so big that I don't want to give one statement of what the ice conditions are, because, you know, one area you could have flowing water and no ice, and other areas you could have 2 feet, right? So I always defer to the person or the outfitter or the resort that's working that specific ice road. You lean on them. They're going to tell you what their weight capacity is. They're going to tell you how far out the road goes. They're going to tell you to please stay on our trail. And then when you get out to the fishing grounds, you can see we spread out more. You know, they're going to give you the nuances, right? But I think it's important. We start the end of November as a rule at back and base spearing. And then as we get into December, typically, first the ice roads will allow ATVs and snowmobiles pulling collapsible fish houses. Then it shifts to side-by-side pulling collapsible fish houses in addition. Then it shifts out to, you know, you're allowed to pull a light wheelhouse out. Then it might shift to the SUVs pulling out. Our resorts normally get their rental day houses out about December 10th, give or take, based on the year. December 10th is usually when. And then from there, it progresses where you start hearing, okay, so-and-so's ice road is now letting out SUV traffic. And then pretty soon you can pull a, you know, you can use an SUV or you can use a side-by-side or ATV or sewing machine with a, you know, up to a 16-foot wheelhouse. You know, they give you parameters like that. And then when we get around Christmas, usually it's, you know, that's when the SUVs and light pickups are allowed out as a rule. And then from there, it goes to the medium-sized pickups and it goes to the half tons, three-quarter, one tons. Then they increase the length of a wheelhouse you can pull out if you have a big wheelhouse. And they'll keep you up to date on that stuff. And then, you know, once we get into March, I mean, you know, some years mid-March, if you know, their ice road goes over a bay that has some flowing water off the Rainy River, some years they pull the plug mid-March. There's other years that we are frozen till mid-April, and we don't even know if we'll have open water for the ice fishing opener, for the walleye opener in May. I mean, every year is different.
Yeah, I think those are just important points to make, even if it's redundant for some people that are so familiar with it. But, you know, every year we got to talk about this stuff because there's just new people. Like you talk about promoting to, you know, bringing people into it, you know, and for a lot of people, to get into the sport, they got to know somebody. Or we could talk about young people. Something close to home for me. I got two young boys that I'm excited to bring up in the outdoors, right? I want to raise them, and I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers that I can introduce them to fishing opportunities on my own, that, you know, where we can bond over that the rest of our lives. And but you think about destination fishing trips, or if you're just one of those individuals that maybe just only has so much stuff, or even myself, the way I like to go fish myself, if I'm, you know, going to categorize myself as a little more hardcore, where I'm always outside, I'm drilling holes, and I have my gear and my stuff sort of set for that style of fishing. Lake of the Woods is somewhere that I would want to bring my kids on a destination fishing trip, like 100%, just for comparing. If I was going to do all that work, if I was going to go out and find my own fish, a bite good enough or worthy to bring my kids out, where it's going to actually entertain them and actually, you know, get them hooked, so to speak, right, on fishing. Like, if I do all that work and I have my own, you know, ice castle or sleeper house, and I'm literally trying to provide a comparable type of experience, like the amount of work that I would have to go and do, I don't have time for all that. Like, it's so attractive for, or even when, anytime that I have friends, it's the easiest place to recommend. If you have friends or family in your life that are ever asking you, like for me, I've done it, like ever since I got into the industry, like people, friends and family, whatever, people like ask me about, like, where do you go, or how great was this place? Should I go up there? It's like, not every place is for everybody, but Lake of the Woods is the easiest place to recommend. I truly believe this. I don't mind saying this myself. Like, it's the easiest place for me to recommend to somebody that doesn't know a lot about the industry, or doesn't know where to go, what kind of a resort, what destination they should be looking at. But Lake of the Woods is the easiest place to recommend. And then you shrink it down, and it's like, okay, now you just got to do a little research on each of these resorts, make a few phone calls, and find out what sort of sounds best to that individual as far as the offerings and what they're maybe hoping to get out of it. But and maybe we should talk about that a little bit, like, what are some of the resources? How does somebody go about doing some good research on finding a resort that they think is going to fit them?
100%. Yeah, one of the things you mentioned is, I did a video once, Taylor, where, you know, part of what I do for Lake of the Woods Tourism is, of course, get the word out and promote Lake of the Woods. When I say promote, I'd rather educate people in Lake of the Woods, making it easy for them to go there that first time. Because once you've been there that first time, the second, third, and fourth are just so much easier, right? You get the lay of the land, basically. And, you know, I did a video once where I went just to four different fish houses that are on this one little ice road with this resort. And, you know, the first house I went to and started asking if I could video them and interview them, you know, it was a couple. And they go ice fishing together every year, and a husband and wife. They brought their own. I remember they had Gander Mountain chairs that folded open that were comfortable. And both chairs had a little table, a little shelf on the right side. And on that right side, they both had about four or five of their favorite lures. And they would take and they'd rotate their lures when fish would come through to figure out what they're biting on today. And they had the radio playing on their phone, and they had their coffee filled up, and, you know, with their travel mugs. And what a neat environment. I go to the next fish house. It's a family. It's a husband and wife with three kids. And the kids are, you know, they're fishing, but they're goofing around. They're having fun. They're doing this. They're doing that. And, you know, it was a whole different environment. And I go to the third fish house. And it was a group of guys from the Iron Range, and they had been doing this for like more than two decades. The beer was flowing. These guys were kidsters. They were joking around with me. I remember one of the guys that was the leader of the group, he had a red wool shirt on, you know, like a lumberjack shirt, and he had suspenders on, kind of a bigger guy with a beard. And, well, he was joking around. He got a nice walleye while we were in there, and everybody got all fired up and started, you know, cheering and stuff. And every situation is different, but part of that is fishing. A big part of ice fishing in that environment is social. So you can bring somebody up that doesn't fish very much, and based on the company you have, based on just the environment, how beautiful it is outside. It's crazy cold. Maybe it's blowing outside, but inside it's 70 degrees, cozy little cabin, and you have your food and your drink and your good company, and it's special. It's as much social for many as it is ice fishing. Now, you ask, you know, hey, how do you find out more about Lake of the Woods? How do you learn about Lake of the Woods? You know, for real time, we have the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page, and we put real time reports. We share some of the more pertinent information from our resorts on our Facebook page, and we also have Instagram and such. And then, you know, when you talk about looking at the resorts, we have all of our resorts with amenity charts, so you can see which ones offer day houses, which one offers sleeper fish houses, which ones have the bars and restaurants. We have all of that labeled out based on what part of the lake you want to stay on our website. Our website is Lake of the Woods, MN for Minnesota, Lake of the Woods, MN.com. And, you know, we even have, I made sure that we put some videos on our ice fishing page that give you the kind of the lay of the land, just some basics. And when you go ice fishing in Minnesota, you can use two lines. You know, typically you want to do the 1-2 punch where you jig one line with a jig and spoon and a minnow head. And the second line, you want a live minnow about 6 inches off the bottom or a foot off the bottom under a bobber. I mean, as basic as it gets, that's the 1-2 punch. It's helpful if you have electronics, stained water. So, you know, you want to be able to use your color gold and your color glow red and your pinks and your chartreuses and your oranges, your brighter colors plus your gold. Sometimes you want to use a rattle. But just some of the basics like that, you know, and our bait shops and resorts have all the tackle you need. If you don't have to think about buying stuff before you go up. But those are the basics. If a person just goes up and does those basics, which all of that is you know, notated, very easy to see it, you're going to have a better experience. You're going to have more success.
Let's talk a little bit about fishing, because I know you like to fish. So let's talk a little bit about a setup. Like, what is your, like, 1-2 setup? I mean, I ask everybody this. I want to know what your preferences are for, you know, spoon size or the jig types, or what you see as being some of the keys to success with just what you've observed over the years on Lake of the Woods. Because I always like to get a little technical on these podcasts. So let's go there for a little bit. For you, what's kind of your 1-2 punch, as you say? What is your favorite jig setup?
Well, you know what? I'm just going to be straight with you. I'm not going to base my conversation based on any certain brand names or anything else. I'm just going to tell you what I do and then let it go from there. First thing I'm going to do, probably, honestly, I'm going to put on a Rapala Rip and Wrap. I'm going to put on a Rapala Rip and Wrap, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's almost like a vibrating lipless crankbait. I'll put on a small Rapala Rip and Wrap that I rip. I jig it. And when you pull on that, it's got rattles in it and it vibrates. So it's a minnow looking thing. And when you pull it through, when you jig it, it comes up and it goes, brrr, it vibrates. And then those BBs add that vibration to the water, especially on Lake of the Woods with the stained water. Those walleyes are using their lateral lines and their inner ear to detect vibration and sound, which would be forage to them more than ever. So I love using a rip and wrap. I think it does two things. Number one, I catch a lot of fish on it. Number two, even if fish are in more of a neutral mode, I think that rip and wrap will attract a lot of fish that are around the fish house, swimming by, and pull them into the fish house. Well, then, of course, if a fish is getting attracted by that noise, but maybe they're not going to hit that rip and wrap because they're in a more neutral mode, well, that's why you have that dead stick. That's why you have that live minnow under a bobber. So in addition to that rip and wrap, I'm going to be using my traditional spoon with either a piece of minnow head on it or a piece of minnow tail. A lot of times I'll pinch off that last couple of inches of a tail of a minnow, and I'll hook that treble hook right through the backbone of that tail there section so it stays on good. And, you know, so, I mean, some of my more my favorite lures would be, one of them is Northland. The Buckshot Rattle Spoon's good, but the Northland Macho Minnow, that Macho Minnow has that extra piece of flap tail, like a piece of metal down by the clevis where the treble hook is. I think that rattling just does something, but there's a color that's like one side is like a glow pink or glow red, and on the other side it's gold. Well, two really, really good noteworthy, you know, colors. Another lure I like using is the Rattling Flyer Spoon by Lindy. Another one I like using is a local tackle company up at Lake of the Woods called Tom's Tackle. And they got two pretty famous lures for catching walleyes up there today. So one of them is the Pink Charmer, which is a small pink spoon. And another one is the Stop Sign Jig. And that Stop Sign is a jig and spoon. You can either get it with rattles or without. And a lot of times it'll be gold on one side and then, you know, the other more noteworthy stained water colors on another side. You can combine them. And there's others. I mean, VMC has some good ones. I don't want to miss anybody. I think the kicker is this, Taylor. If you and I are fishing together, let's start out by trying some different things and let those walleyes and saugers today, because every day can be different. Let's let those fish today tell us what they want, but let's give them a smorgasbord to start out with. And then you and I need to be smart enough to work together that we're going to hone in on what size spoon. Do they want a rattle or no rattle? Do they want a big minnow piece on there or just a little minnow piece? Do they want that thing really jigging in the water column, or they want it real subtle? One thing is, when I'm jigging my jigging spoon, the normal jigging cadence for me would be a jig jig and let it stop in the strike zone. Jig jig and let it stop in the strike zone. If they don't hit it, then remember, when that walleye or sauger comes through, you got a very limited time to make it happen. You got to figure that fish out right now, or in a hurry, it's going to be swimming on. You'll never get another chance. So jig jig, let it sit in the strike zone. This, a second technique, drop it in the bottom of the lake, the sand or mud or whatever you're on. Drop it in the bottom and lift it up and shake it a little bit and stop it. That can induce a strike. They're used to feeding down. Walleyes are used to pinning minnows down on the bottom of the lake. And by doing that, that is instinctively will attract them to oftentimes eat. Another thing is, I'll shake it like heck in the strike zone. Shake, 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 fast as I can. I'll shake it. Sometimes I even take my fingers and I'll tap my rod so that vibration goes down to my lure, and then I'll hold it still. A lot of times that'll get them to whack it. If they're still there and they're not whacking them, but they're interested, shake it like heck. And at the same time, start reeling up. So what you're doing is you're making your lure look like it's an escaping bait fish. A lot of times that fish will follow. The walleye or sauger will start chasing it up, and you keep it ahead of them. Don't stop it. If you stop it, a lot of times they lose interest. It's just like human beings. A lot of times those fish want what they can't have. In real life, in Mother Nature, they're used to chasing minnows down. It's instinctive, right? But if a minnow stops right in front of them, that's not natural. So you want to keep, if they're chasing you up, keep it going at the same rate. It's closing the gap, closing the gap. All of a sudden, boom, you get slack. Set that hook. That fish has chased you up, but it's chasing a minnow, and instinctively it went eight, But those are the different techniques you use when that fish comes through. Helps to have electronics. Without those electronics, we'd never know that fish was down there. We'd never know how that fish is reacting to our presentation.
Yeah, man. That's such good stuff to, especially when we're talking to a lot of people, hopefully that, maybe are new to the sport, or when you're bringing somebody new to the sport, all those points are just so, so important, because I think that's the learning curve for somebody that doesn't maybe fish for a lot of walleyes, and Lake of the Woods is definitely the place to go. Everything you just said, when you're just, as an angler, you're learning how to trigger fish, and just realizing that every fish that comes through, it might have its own little personality, and just having that playbook of what to try while that fish is still there looking at you, and you're trying to trigger that bite, and every fish might be a little bit different, but it's such a cool place like Lake of the Woods, where you do have those opportunities on good days, even an average day up there, where mm-hmm. you're going to put your hands on, or you're going to have a chance to trigger realistically more walleyes than any other, or than most, like average home bodies of water, wherever you come from. I mean, if Lake of the Woods is a destination for you, you're going there where, if there's fishing, if there's fishing where you're from, wintertime fishing across the Midwest, there's a lot of places, a lot of lakes that, where you just don't get an opportunity to catch that many walleyes, and you go up there and you just boost your confidence so much. Mm-hmm. It's such a playground for that, where you can go up there and you can gain that confidence in that whole playbook, like you just described. And those are all things that I love talking about on this podcast with all kinds of people, where we get really hyper specific on certain things or certain lures and triggering fish. But like when you have that sort of open mind and everybody in your group, and I like making the point too, anytime I'm talking about destination, fisheries with anybody, that working together, within your group, I think naturally, right? Like everybody's, it's easy to communicate, but when you're on your home body of water, I think it's a big difference, where people are always hiding information. You think you have secrets. like when I meet up with somebody, if I'm trailering my unit, to get off of my home body of water, and I meet up with three, four other guys, there's sort of a style of communication, where you're just naturally hiding a little bit of what you did that day to each other. Maybe, you make sure to put your rods in the rod locker before you get to the landing so no one sees what lures you have tied on or whatever. But destination fisheries, like when you go back to the resort and you're in the restaurant, it's like everybody's sharing that information.
It doesn't matter. There's millions of walleyes. Let's help each other. We can all do well. And you know, the other thing, cool thing too, I think, is, you know, and like you said something really important. You know, when I started fishing Lake of the Woods, Taylor, it was back like right in college. I started ice fishing before open water fishing. And when I went to Lake of the Woods the first time, I can remember going out there with my brother, and we went out in a rental fish house like most people do. And it's like, holy smokes, man, we caught a whole bucket of fish. And it wasn't like a slam dunk day where we caught 100 fish or anything, but we caught more walleyes and saugers that one day than I did the whole freaking ice fishing season, fishing local lakes in central Minnesota. And you know, in central Minnesota, you go and you work your tail off and you get one or two walleyes. That's a pretty good night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go up there, just you're going to catch fish, just no matter how many. You're going to see fish on your electronics. You're going to see fish. And that's cool. That doesn't sound right. It's like playing a video game. I think the other thing is good is you got a chance at a trophy at Lake of the Woods. We got big fish on Lake of the Woods. You know, I can tell you this. As an example, the last four tournaments we had, the last four open water tournaments, the winning bag of fish, let's say the winning five fish for the last four tournaments we had, averaged about 10 pounds per walleye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what makes a fishery, a big fish fishery like that? Number one, we have the right gene pool. We have a big walleye gene in our system. That's huge. Secondly, we have tulipies. You know, on Lake of the Woods, when a walleye becomes 25 inches, its diet really changes, so it focuses on tulipies. Not that it won't eat other things, it will, but they really do focus on tulipies. And tulipy is like a cheeseburger to a walleye. It helps walleyes and pike grow bigger faster because of the high protein, high fat fish. You know, the other thing that makes it such a big fish fishery is that our limits. So on Lake of the Woods, you can keep a combined limit of walleyes and saugers of up to six. And then up to four of those six can be walleyes. There's a slot limit on walleyes that says 19 and a half inches to 28 inches you must release. So you keep your eaters under 19 and a half, and then you're allowed to keep one trophy over 28 inches if you so desire. Well, imagine what that does is that when anglers are catching, first off, when you're catching 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 inch walleyes, that's a nice walleye, the fun walleye to catch. You get that walleye up, it's huge. You get a nice picture of it, and you put it back down the hole to go reproduce again and add sustainability to the fishery. The other thing that does is by people putting back those big fish are there to grow into 29 and 30 and 31 inch walleyes. So your chance of catching a monster walleye on Lake of the Woods is it's better than most lakes. I'll tell you this much. I joke around with my buddies and I tell them, you know, I'm kidding when I say this, but it's almost like a Forrest Gump statement. It reminds me of, you guys, you know what the best way to catch a monster walleye is? Fish in a body of water that has a lot of monster walleyes. And as simple as that sounds, it's true. You know, when you're fishing on Lake of the Woods, you'd be catching one thing about Lake of the Woods, Taylor, you catch a lot of small fish. You normally have to go through a lot of small fish, which is action. But you go through a lot of small fish and boom, you whack an eater. Boom, you whack another eater. You go through a few more small fish, all of a sudden, boom, you set the hook and your rod doubles over. And it could be a 31. Like you just never know when that big fish is going to appear. That's the allure. You never know what you're going to have when you set that hook.
Yep. There's no bad bite up there. I think that's true. You know, and what is a bad bite? And there isn't one, right? The rod doubled over is good no matter what it is, but it's really, you know, the optimism is just so high, you know, when you're fishing a body of water like that, it's really cool. And you learn a lot too. Like when you're up there, like that place just educates you so much when you are fishing a multi-species body of water like just when you're introducing somebody new into fishing, a young person or it's a corporate gig, which again, you know, just touching on the opportunities, like that's a place to plan a corporate trip. You know, maybe half of the people in your office that go on a trip, right? It's a work trip and they're excited to go and they don't have no gear. They probably, you know, only ever heard about fishing their whole life, and they're going to go there. And like you say, the action is important. And keeps you just having fun and interested, that whole social aspect. But man, how many people caught their first walleye of their life on Lake of the Woods. So many.
Well, I'll tell you another one. You bring up that corporate thing. I'll tell you something. Here's what you hear from business leaders. You know, we get seed company, egg company, we get a plumbing company, we get lots of different companies coming up with small, large groups of people. But here's the thing. If you're leading a group of people, where can you go where there's actually activities to do in the winter? Plus, there's the opportunity for camaraderie and everything. And you want to make it easy on yourself. You don't have to set everything up. Literally, it's a turnkey deal. What I mean by that turnkey is you come to Lake of the Woods and you got, let's say, you know, 20 people that you want to bring up in your party. You know, all of a sudden, now it's just a matter of, hey, listen, the bigger resorts up there especially, they do the group travel. They're used to it. You get your lodging. You get all your fishing, full service fishing, summer or winter. You get all your meals. You do the meal plan. It's just a certain amount per person. You write a check for that. Boom, it's a done deal. Now all you got to do is get them there. Now think about this one. Strategically, hey, who should we put in the fish houses? Hey, I'd like to get our marketing director hanging out with so-and-so from a different destination. Let's get those two together in a fish house. Let's do that. And hey, we're going to have our group dinner at night. And then, of course, I'll just open up the bar for a couple hours, whatever, and people can just order from the bartender up there. Talk about easy.
Yep. Yeah, man. It's so turnkey for so many different people. You know, this is me repeating myself, but for so many different people, for so many different reasons, the offerings up there are just so on such a high level. And you know, we've visited multiple resorts up there. You know, certainly not all of them. There's so many. You probably know how many there are. But it's like every time you go somewhere, it's like, well, this could be the place that I would come to Lake of the Woods to visit every year. And then, you know, for work related or whatever it is, you know, we'll go visit another resort, you know, the next winter or two or whatever it is. And it's like, oh man, this place is super dialed into their clientele as well. And it's just so... Yeah, just the fishing culture up there. It's just like it's just like its own planet. It's just such a big, operation, and it just you and I were trying to think of a place even on the planet like that. Just such a big statement. But is there anywhere on the planet that either of us could even think of that is on that scale that attracts so many people, for ice fishing? Anywhere else that actually does it, they actually pull it off, and it's such a long season. It's like, it really is just a special place. So it's just fun to hype, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it when you talk about it, you know, and I think what we said is arguably Lake of the Woods could be the largest ice fishing destination in the world. You know, I know we certainly are in the ice belt immediate to us, and because we can track angling hours and things like that, aren't we? But you know, it helps to have the millions of walleyes and stockers. It helps to have big water so you can spread out. You're not on top of each other. And of course, it's vital to have the infrastructure. You got a lot of resorts that ice fish, and that enables people to get out on that ice. You know, it's just like having a huge, huge forest with hundreds of thousands of acres. If you have no trails or roads going through that forest, it's pretty hard to access it other than the edges. You know, thankfully we have the resources that make Lake of the Woods accessible. And that's, it's a big deal. You know, the whole thing too, I think it's neat. I think it's cool. Think of these behind the scenes stuff for these resorts and outfitters. Basically, in a nutshell, they do the work so we can enjoy it. You know, but I mean, the work, you know, preparing an ice road, preparing it from early ice. You know, in some cases, you're going out on early ice with all your safety gear on before anybody gets out on that ice. Some cases, some of the resorts have airboats, and they're going out and marking the best ice, and then they're monitoring it. And then they're, you know, in some cases, they're flooding it where they drill a hole on the other side of the road and they flood it with water on top, because that water on top will freeze faster than the stuff below. They're bridging cracks. They're chopping down ice upheavals. They are driving the roads while you're still sleeping at 4:30 in the morning to make sure that no cracks or ice upheavals happened. They're moving houses constantly. I mean, there's so many things that go on behind the scenes. And all we got to do is wake up, have breakfast, and go to a heated fish house and enjoy our day and come back and make memories at night and drive home and say, man, that was cool. We should do that again. I mean, it there's so much that goes behind the scenes that makes that possible.
Yeah. 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 And it's... Yeah, it's just a really, really cool place, man. It gets me hyped, you know. You kind of get me hyped, too. You're definitely, I'm sure this isn't the first time anybody's ever told you this, but, man, you got the energy, and I love it.
Well, I tell you, and it's natural. I mean, it's fishing, and when you get in that fish house, it's like when you drive up there, I see that Lake of the Woods County sign, and it's like, all right, it's freaking game on, baby. Now it's time to rip some lips. It's like, okay, we drove a while to get here, but now it's on. And then, it just kind of goes from there. I do get excited. I love fishing and actually fishing out of the fish houses up there. It's easy. It's easier than going in a boat. Heck, you don't have, you have a controlled environment. You're going in a heated vehicle to three steps to a heated fish house, 70 degrees. Doesn't matter what it's doing outside. If it's snowing, if it's blowing, if it's warm, if it's cold, you're in a controlled environment. That's more controlled than fishing in a boat, even in the summertime.
Yeah. What else do we got to talk about, man? Again, people are going to have specific questions. And like you said, we almost got to refer, do a little bit of research. You got to talk to some of these places individually and get the road reports, get the fishing reports, get some of the gear lists and all that sort of thing. But for the things we've been talking about here, Joe, what else do we got to touch on, if at all, before we sign this one out?
Yeah, so some people ask, what's the difference of fishing on the south end of Lake of the Woods versus the northwest angle? And, I would say a lot of times on the south end, as a rule, you'll be fishing out in that deep mud, that big basin where there's literally schools of thousands of walleyes and saugers roaming around. And you'll be fishing those fish. On part of the lake, you'll be fishing some structure as well, specifically in the southwest corner. Over by Long Point and Arneson's Rocky Point, that area, they're fishing a little bit more structure. Now, when you go to the northwest angle, that's where the Canadian Shield begins. So you're really fishing. That's where all the islands begin and such. So you're fishing a lot more structure. So traditionally, you'll get a nice mix of, on the south end, of walleyes and saugers. Up at the northwest angle, you actually catch a higher propensity of walleyes than you do saugers. You get some saugers. And of course, you get your jumbo perch and stuff too. Some people ask, hey, what about the opportunity of going from the northwest angle and actually sliding into Ontario to go fishing? Do people do that? And the answer is, yeah, they do. They'll stay at one of the nice northwest angle resorts for the infrastructure and that sort of thing. And then, number one, some of the northwest angle resorts will work with a Canadian outfitter that they have some hard-sided houses on Ontario ice for crappie fishing. You get some big – and walleyes too, but big black crappies. The other thing is some of the northwest angle guides will take you via snow machine into Ontario waters and they'll take you out crappie fishing and in some cases even lake trout fishing in some parts of Ontario. So that exists out of the northwest angle as well. So it's just a little bit different world up there. A little bit tougher to get to, but a lot of people that go to the angle, they believe that extra time to drive up there and having to have the credentials is well worth it because they love the angle. But both sides are great. They're just different.
Yeah. All right, man. We kind of already talked about, I wanted to fit in, some of the resources into the conversation, but it's also how I like to kind of cap these things off. So what would be, again, maybe just to repeat, some of the good resources for people to look up some information or ask some questions, maybe find you if you have time to answer a question or two. But what are the good resources, again, to just rattle off?
Yeah, we're talking the Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods. So, anybody can go to Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods. It's like going to central Minnesota fishing. Same thing, right? If you want to go to the angle, well, then you need some credentials unless you want to go across the lake on a bombardier or snow machine. When it comes to getting a hold of somebody, we're Lake of the Woods Tourism. That's the organization that helps educate people on our body of water and help them out any way we can. We have such a robust website with all the info you need. We have our resort listings and hotel listings. We have ice fishing businesses. We have how you get a hold of us if you have specific questions. We have really everything on there. And that website is Lake of the Woods MN for Minnesota. Lake of the Woods MN. com. And if you get to that website, really everything you need there is there. And if you need to get a hold of us, we're really happy to help you. A lot of times people will say, hey, Joe, can you help steer me? There's a lot of resorts. We have a group of four and here's what we want. And, we do or don't want to go to the angle. And where would you steer us? Out of fairness, what I typically do is I'll give them 3 to 5 lodging facilities to choose from that fit their criteria. But, we're always happy to help any way we can.
There it is, man. Yeah, dude. As expected, it gets me hyped up.